Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers, hanging out with Kevin Dunn and Brad Kellner. You can always hit us up via Twitter on a Bat Tuesday edition of the Triple Option. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse, Kevin Dunn at KevinDunn01, and Brad Kellner is at Brad Kellner in the Twitterverse. All right, Mel Kiper has been busy. Came up with a two-round mock draft. I believe this is Mike's mock draft 4.0 for him this offseason. So in his latest mock draft, gentlemen, we have two rounds. So we'll get into, since there's no Texans to talk about because they don't have a first or a second round pick, we'll talk Cowboys picks here. And also if there are any Longhorns mocked for Mel Kiper in his two-round mock draft. So we'll get to those two items here. Let's start. Well, I'll just run through the first nine picks before we get to the Cowboys. Set the tone for you.
Start at three, because we know one and two.
One and two is what everybody says. You're right. Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, one and two to the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Jets. Number three, Shano picks Mac Jones. The 49ers traded up to get Mac Jones. Everybody seems to believe it, KD.
Yeah, no, they do. I'm not sold yet. I think there's some smoke screen.
I think this has got to be one of the greatest smoke screens in the history.
I think it's one of the three.
Of the NFL.
He may love Lance. He could love Fields. You can see Fields and their boot waggle concept working out. And especially because he's got the arm. The biggest problem, biggest question about him was how much of the field was he really asked to read at Ohio State? And I think that's a legitimate question if you really look at film. That, not saying he can't, but how much was he? Mac Jones is there. Physically, though, I just don't think the ceiling is that high.
Yeah, to me it feels like the floor might be higher for Mac Jones than it is for Justin Fields, but the ceiling for Justin Fields is way higher.
The ceiling is the roof.
The ceiling is the roof.
I don't know if that's good or bad, Mac Jones.
No, I mean, I've said it since the trade went down. There's no way Kyle Shanahan moved up to number three to draft Mac Jones. There's just no way. He's too smart of a football mind to do something.
What if he
like
does?
That.
What if he does, BK? What do we do?
I'll leave my words. Well, if Mac Jones is really good, then there's Shanahan being smart.
I agree with what you're saying. What are we going to do if he drafts Mac Jones? You know what?
Or did they just
If he drafts Mac Jones, I'm going to go your Chris Beard route. I'm going to go your Chris Beard route, BK. I'm going to say, you know what? I must be wrong when he's going to be damn good. I trust Shano that much.
I do, too.
To believe that. He must know something we don't know about Mac Jones. He's a smarter football mind than us.
Here's another thing
I'm
thought
you.
Of.
I don't see it. I don't see it happening.
Because the logic would tell you that. Wait a minute, he wouldn't trade up to three to get Mac Jones, but maybe the trade was there and they just said, we're going to take it and then decide which one we want, even if we do overspend a couple slots because we think it's one of these three guys. I don't know what their thinking is, but I'm with you. I've had two coaches with the Niners that I trust. Obviously, number one's Bill Walsh, but Shano is two. This is not Nolan making a decision. You know, like, I mean, I do trust them, but I don't understand the logic.
Yeah, if the Niners draft Mac Jones, I'm going to think Mac Jones is going to be very good at the next level. I already do think Mac Jones is going to be a solid quarterback.
Yeah, I do too.
But the threat of Justin Fields being on the 49ers for the next decade and a half would scare the hell out of me.
I'm with you.
With the potential of that guy, his athleticism paired with Kyle Shanahan and his offense, that could be really, really special.
Rod, make a call.
Listen,
not for the air.
I've not been in contact with him because I don't know what to say to him right now about this. I don't know.
So how's the weather?
I don't know if he's going to be serious about it. I don't want to hurt his feelings if I'm like, man, I don't agree with this Mac Jones thing. And
would you trade two future cloudy days for a sunny day today?
Right.
I don't like that. Don't drop a dime for a nickel. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, Kyle Pitts at number four. This was a trade, gentlemen. Apparently, the Falcons made a trade with the Dolphins here.
And they got plenty of capital.
And apparently, and Kyle Pitts is going to be with the Dolphins here.
I love this.
That's a solid pick for a young Tua.
I'm digging what the Dolphins are doing.
I do too. I love what the Dolphins
are doing. And I have before they got end up getting their Herschel Walker type trade within three trades.
Yeah. No, I think they've done a great job.
They really have.
Yeah. No, I'm not
sold on Tua either.
I was going to say, Tua might be, to me, the biggest uncertainty, if you will. Mm-hmm. But they have so much draft capital, and you're building so well around Tua. If he doesn't work out, you can always go upgrade at quarterback.
Right. Probably next offseason.
Yeah,
I mean, it all depends on how good Tua is next year. The Dolphins did win 10 games last season, but Tua didn't start all of them. And even some of the games Tua did start, he was benched for Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Twice.
You don't have that safety blanket anymore. Ryan Fitzpatrick is gone. He's in Washington. So now what happens if Tua struggles? That means all of these other moves Miami's making isn't going to mean a whole lot if they can't get solid quarterback play.
In that trade, too, Rod, I like what the Falcons do because they end up going to six, right?
And they end then up taking, trading down to
and
six.
And getting Matt Ryan's replacement. We'll see if Trey Lance is that.
Penei Sewell at five. They got Trey Lance at six as the replacement, as KD mentioned, for Matt Ryan. I like that. That's a good move for them if they do it. At seven, the Detroit Lions get Ja'Marr Chase in this Mel Kiper mock draft 4.0. At number eight, Devontae Smith goes to the Carolina Panthers. That'd be kind of sexy, too. Now getting a quarterback of the future with Sam Darnold and giving them some more weapons. They'd have Christian McCaffrey there, too. And they got some DJ Moores there, another good weapon. At number nine, Micah Parsons to the Denver Broncos. That would fit.
First defender, too.
Yeah, that would fit the Broncos to me. I mean, they do like to prioritize defense there, and they do have a defensive-minded coach.
Fangio.
In Vic Fangio. Yeah, at number 10, here's where things get interesting, gentlemen. Here we go for the Cowboys. They are the Cowboys trading down, at least trading with the New England Patriots, and the Patriots drafting Justin Fields at number 10.
I love this all the way around, but we'll focus on the Cowboys. I love it. I've said I'd take J.C. Horn over Patrick Surtain, and we'll get kind of how all this plays out. But I also like it for the Patriots. I would love to see what McDaniels and what they can do with Justin Fields.
Let's go to it because the Cowboys trade down to 15 with the New England Patriots, and they have them selecting KD, J.C. Horn, the cornerback out of South Carolina, who you like, and you said you believe he's better than Patrick Surtain anyway.
Yeah.
You're not alone in that, by the way. It's probably split half and half.
Yeah. He's big. He's long. I know that the Jim Nagy, who's one of the Senior Bowl executive directors, I read the same thing. He said, look, I think he's better than both of them being Farley and also Surtain.
Yeah.
But I think all three of those guys are kind of close. So, you know, I am trade down Teddy. And if they can trade down, BK, I love this for y'all because I think J.C. Horn would be the guy I would take at 10. So obviously if you can get something back and take him at 15, voila.
Yeah, if you told me right now the Cowboys could move down a couple of spots, pick up a future first-round pick, and draft either Patrick Surtain or J.C. Horn,
either one,
I would take that in a heartbeat. The risk you run is if you do trade back five spots, what happens if Surtain and Horn are both off the board?
And is Farley close enough?
Yeah, that's the thing about it. Do you like Farley? Because if all three of them are close, as KD said, then it doesn't matter too much which one that falls to you at 15.
Farley, to me, is not that close.
Okay.
And it's mainly injury-related. I mean, he's had two major back surgeries, and he's just coming off of one of them right now. So I don't know if he's going to be 100% to play his rookie season.
And it's a back,
so I'm not sure how that's going to affect him long term. So I've got Farley a distant third.
I think
Surtain and Horn are right there. They're neck and neck for me. One thing people don't talk about with Patrick Surtain enough is the fact that at Alabama, he started as a true freshman. Think about how many talented players have gone through Nick Saban's Alabama team. And Nick Saban trusted this guy enough to start him all 4 years at college. He's been going up against NFL receivers every single day in practice. He's been going up against NFL receivers just about every Saturday in the SEC. So to me, he's a little bit more battle-tested. I like J.C. Horn a lot. I mean, they're very, very close to me. But that's one thing that tells me a lot about Patrick Surtain. He's the only corner in the Nick Saban era to start as a true freshman for a Nick Saban Alabama team. That tells me something.
It tells you a lot. He's got the skid marks to prove it, too, that he's battle-tested. Because he's been
exposed a lot because he's been around a lot.
He's been burned,
but because he's been around a lot, like BK said. That's true, too.
Yeah, I think he's more talented than Trayvon Diggs, though, coming out of college.
And I agree with that.
Trayvon Diggs, the Cowboys' second-round pick last year, did some really, really good things as a rookie. Now, he did get exposed a time or two. Every rookie corner does. Hell, every veteran corner.
No, every corner does. It's not the Deion Sanders days when Rod and I would say, he's never been beat deep. And even then, he probably had been beaten deep, but there's one or two times. It's just football's different.
Yeah, when you're throwing the ball 40, 50, 60 times
and
a game.
And that vertically?
You're going to get burned a time or two. So, yeah, I'm high on both of those guys. I mean, if you told me right now the Cowboys could trade down, pick up extra draft capital, and draft one of Patrick Surtain or J.C. Horn, I would be thrilled. And I think that's good for the Cowboys if one of the quarterbacks falls a little bit, right? Whether it's Justin Fields or Trey Lance or Mac Jones, whoever. There are so many teams desperate for a quarterback right now that I think a team would be willing to give up a lot more than usual in a trade to go get a quarterback. Like, if it's obvious the team that's trading with Dallas is looking for a QB, I think the asking price is going to be a little bit higher for Dallas, and I think it should be. Mm-hmm. That's the premium, the price you have to pay to get a quarterback in today's NFL. So the Cowboys are in a good spot being where they're at, not having to draft the quarterback, because they might be able to make some things happen via the trade market.
All right, our resident DB, you agree with us?
I like J.C. Horn. I mean, I'm a big fan of him. I think J.C. Horn and Patrick Surtain are a little closer than most. I think they're a little closer. I'm sure the separation depends on what you value at cornerback. Maybe you play more zone, play more
J.C.'s
man.
J.C.'s more press man.
Yeah, exactly, right? You just value a certain type of skill or whatever they have, so it's just a little different. I agree with BK. I think Farley's a little bit – I think there's a not significant drop-off, but a drop-off between the top two guys and Farley. So if I'm a Cowboys fan, I'd prefer to get J.C. Horn or Patrick Surtain. In this mock draft, they have Patrick Surtain going to Philadelphia via Miami through San Fran, so it's a trade there. But they end up getting their corner. Then 13, Rashawn Slater, the offensive tackle from Northwestern, goes to the Chargers. 14, Christian Darrisaw, the offensive lineman, goes to Virginia Tech. So it looks like he thinks it's going to be a run at one point on these tackles to mid-first round, or at least early first round.
And that's where you're in a good spot if you trade down to 15. I think we're pretty sure the Chargers are going to get a tackle to, whether it's Darrisaw, Slater, whoever's available. Now, does Philadelphia at 12, do they go after one of those cornerbacks? That's where you got to kind of play if you drop five spots, Rod. Who in front of me, there's no way they're going to take a cornerback. And the Chargers would be one, and probably Minnesota, too.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, because there will be a run on wide receivers and tackles probably before, right around where the Cowboys are picking. There will be a run on, that's right, Kyle Pitts will probably go first, but then it will be Jamar Chase, Devontae Smith, and then once Penei Sewell goes, there will be a run on tackles, too. If you judge it right, you play it right, you could hit that sweet spot if you're the Cowboys.
Waddle, too.
I forget about Waddle. Yeah, he's got to be in that conversation, too. Right after the Cowboys pick J.C. Horn, he has Caleb Farley going to Arizona. So, that's going to be that right there. It could be that run on corners, like BK said, so you got to be careful if you end up, picking the wrong spot or dropping too low. They could end up taking those top two corners.
That's a good point. I wouldn't drop to 17 or 18. I would keep it at 15.
Yeah. That is kind of what BK's saying.
You also run the risk of other teams trading up, too.
Yeah.
So you could try to play the game of, if we look at this team, look at that team, they don't need a corner. Well, somebody picking 22nd could come in and swoop in front of you.
Yeah, if Arizona really wants a corner, they could trade up and go get one.
Yeah. So like I said, I mean, this situation that Mel Kiper's laying out is perfect. I would sign up for that in a heartbeat. But obviously a lot of risk anytime you trade down if you have your eye set on one or two guys.
He's got the Las Vegas Raiders at 17, taking an offensive lineman, Elijah Vera Tucker, out of USC. And then we get to the 18, and we'll get to the second round here because I think that's probably a little bit more focused on at least the Cowboys and the Longhorns. But at 18, he's got Kwity Paye.
Yeah, Kwity Paye.
Kwity Paye out of Michigan going to the Dolphins. He's got Tevin Jenkins, of offensive lineman from Oklahoma State, going to the Bears. The Bears.
I told y'all he's been rising the last month.
Yeah, man.
Like he's going to be a first rounder.
He flew past Sam Cosmi on the board.
And Liam Eichenberg.
Jalen Phillips, edge rusher out of Miami, going to the Colts. Elijah Moore, wide receiver, Ole Miss, going to Tennessee Titans. Greg Newsom, cornerback out of Northwestern. He has him going to the New York Jets. Najee Harris, running back out of Bama, got going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Bless you. Trayvon Merrick, bless you. The safety out of TCU, going to Jacksonville. Then he's got
just polite Southern boys.
Davis, the linebacker, Kentucky, going to Cleveland Browns. Terrence Marshall, wide receiver, LSU, going to the Baltimore Ravens. Zaven Collins, linebacker, going out of Tulsa. Out of Tulsa, the linebacker, going to the Saints. Rashad Bateman, the wide receiver, going to the Green Bay Packers, actually.
That's pretty good.
Out of Minnesota. And he's got Christian Barmer going to the Alabama Crimson Tide, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Wow, the rich get richer. All right, second round, gentlemen.
You're about to get Edelman, too.
Right? Good point.
I'm sorry, he's retired.
For now. All right, let's go to the second round and talk about the Cowboys in the second round. They have the 44th pick in the second round, and they have the Cowboys taking Joe Tryon, the defensive end. Interesting. What
out
do you
of
guys think about out of Washington? Yeah, Joe. I mean, I guess maybe they got to talk to the Longhorn staff about that, about how much of a player he is. What have you heard about Joe Tryon, BK? You're a fan of this pick, defensive end. Once again, they're focused on defense, though, which I think would satisfy a lot of Cowboys fans who've been concerned the Cowboys may decide to take best player available, maybe with some of those top two picks, and that may end up being an offensive guy.
They should take defense.
Okay.
Now, I'd listen to an offensive lineman, and if Kyle Pitts were to drop to 10, I'd have a hard time saying no. And I have an even harder time believing Jerry Jones wouldn't pick up the phone and make the call right away to go get Kyle Pitts. But this team needs defense. I mean, if the Cowboys want to compete in 2021, which I think they do, then they've got to address that defense. Joe Tryon opted out in 2020.
Yep.
Did not play last season. I think he had 8.5 sacks as a junior a couple of years ago.
As a sophomore.
As a sophomore. Started, excuse me. Talented player, long, athletic, strong. He can play the edge. He can get after the quarterback. So pairing him up with DeMarcus Lawrence, kind of throwing him in that rotation with Randy Gregory as sort of your second edge rusher, I like the idea. I have to analyze and go through the rest of Mel Kiper's mock draft to see which edges are going ahead of Joe Tryon, but I expect him to be a high to mid second round pick. So the Cowboys getting him at 44, position of need, the guy with a lot of upside. Washington defensive linemen are pretty good in the league, KD.
They are.
I'm down with it.
Yeah, they're well coached. He's quick. He's fluid. He's the type of guy that, especially with twists and stunts, has done really well. And getting back to what BK said, his sophomore year in 2019, he was pretty good. He was a full-time starter and does some good things. Rob, you know what the label on him, though, that he's getting a little bit too much right now? Because you love this label. Tweener.
Is it tweener? Or is
tweener.
It a hybrid? Or a position flex?
So that's the whole thing. So they're saying he's not quick twitch for a stand-up linebacker and too small for a defensive end.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes those guys, they fit perfectly.
They fit really well.
They can fit really well in a
certain
niche defense.
Remember TJ Watt getting a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so you want to know edge defenders that went ahead of him, period?
Yeah.
All right, we can do that here. All right, so here are the edge defenders that went ahead of him. I want to try to start all the way here at the top. Okay, so, here we go. You have first edge defender was Quiddy Pay, I believe, at the Michigan defensive end.
It's not a loaded year
Dolphins.
For edge.
Yeah, so he was the first. I had to go
was
down
Russo
a little bit.
Not?
No, he's down. He's on the second round.
Right.
I know I have to look. Okay, Jalen Phillips, the edge rusher out of Miami, goes to the Colts. That's at 21. You have, you're right. It's not a good year for edge rushers, at least based on this mock draft. Jason Oway, the Penn State edge rusher, went to Kansas City at 31. Then we get to the second round here, and you got Gregory Russo. That's 35 to the Atlanta Falcons, so he dropped to the second round, and you got to go down a little bit more.
Malcolm Kuntz.
You got Malcolm Kuntz at 41.
It's gonna be a tough
Detroit
name.
Lions. Then 42, New York Giants take Ronnie Perkins out of Oklahoma, and then Tyson Campbell. Oh, sorry, that's cornerback.
And then Joe.
Then Joe Tryon. That's it.
Okay, so what, sixth or seventh, it sounds like.
Sounds like, you got about sixth or seven.
No, think about how important it is to get after the quarterback, right? How important the edge rushing position is in today's NFL. The fact that Mel Kiper doesn't expect one of those guys to go until pick 18, I think
it
says what KD's talking about.
Yeah.
It's not a great year for that position.
Yeah, that was the read most of the year. And actually, I read an article saying it could be really high-end at the end of the day, but there's just too many questions heading into the draft. But there's some high potential guys that have high ceilings, but also some low floors. That's kind of what you're getting. Rod,
I would love to see the last time we had to wait to pick 18 to see an edge rusher.
It's been a while.
Just
doesn't happen very often.
Usually there's one that stands out. That's unbelievable.
I'm curious, and I know you're going to get to it here, Rod, so we can...
Speaking of edge rushers.
Edge rushers.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple picks later, BK, I'm guessing you'd rather have Joe Osai.
Over Joe Tryon?
Yeah.
It's close. I'd be okay with either.
Okay.
I think Joe Tryon's a little bit more polished right now in terms of more versatile skill set and a bigger repertoire of moves. It's funny, though. Joseph Osai has played more games in college than Joe Tryon has.
It says a lot about coaching. Glad we got that guy.
Yeah, I would be okay with either of those two gentlemen being on the Dallas
Cowboys. They have, just to kind of fast forward things here, Mel Kiper has Sam Cosmi going 54th overall to the Indianapolis Colts, and he's got Joseph Osai going 56th overall to the Seattle Seahawks, which I think both of those are great landing spots for both of those players.
I totally agree, and I love Cosmi going to Indianapolis. They've done a great job rebuilding that offensive line, and I'm pretty sure he's on the left side, but it would be great to see the best guard in football move to the right side and really help out a rookie right tackle if he's going to play there.
Quentin Nelson. Yeah, that would be nice. I don't like Joseph Osai to Seattle at all.
Okay.
Really?
Because Seattle can't draft worth a crap. So if Osai goes there, he's going to suck.
I just figured
that's the only reason I
play
right
away.
Yeah, he would get the opportunity to play right away, and Seattle's a good team. They're always a contender, and that's great, but everybody they draft sucks. So I'd be nervous.
All right.
I might change my prediction for Joseph Osai if he goes to Seattle.
That's fair. It's not defense.
It's a ridiculous take.
Defense they draft is bad.
That's a funny one.
That's crazy that they draft so bad defense.
That's why they always need to draft these guys, because they can't get it right.
Yeah.
They always try to take these edge rushing types, and it doesn't work.
Post Legion of Boom.
Post Legion of Boom, yeah.
Post Legion of Boom.
Can
before
I
Legion of Boom, they were doing really well.
Actually, quickly, let me tell you about Dr. Brent Brotsman before I tell you about the pick that I really love that's right after that. Dr. Brent Brotsman, he can help you out if you are an athlete, maybe a younger athlete, and you just want to maximize those workouts. He specializes in ankles, knees, and feet. He's a top orthopedic doctor and surgeon in town. Great guy. He's got a great bedside manner, and he's brilliant. I mean, this guy really knows his stuff. He's written 4 orthopedic books to originate out of Austin, the only ones out there, and it's required reading for a lot of programs. So you can get online, get on Yelp, and see there's people all over the globe, literally all over the globe, that are fired up about his opinions and his techniques, and you can get them right here in Austin. Stem cell shots, PRP shots, all that good stuff. They'll get you back on your feet and feeling good. They've got multiple therapists, multiple rehab set up for you. All you got to do is call them, 512-977-0000, 512-977-0000. If you've just been sitting on it, ankles, knees, and feet, and it's hurting, trust me, this will make it a lot better, whether you have to get surgery or not. It's Dr. Brent Brotsman, BrotsmanSportsMedicine.com. How about 60 overall? I love that pick because I love that mind getting Rondell Moore, who we've seen in some mocks being a late first-round pick. That would be a steal right there.
Yeah, with the Saints.
With the Saints.
Nobody utilizes personnel better, arguably, than Sean Payton. He's done a great job over for years. You get a weapon like Rondell Moore there. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be. I mean, we assume it's Taysom Hill. Maybe it's Jameis Winston. But either way, you know he can dial up some funky formations and some funky
I think it's even more important
than Rondell Moore.
Because you don't know who the quarterback is. You better get some Rondell Moores in there to play around
Well, either way, I mean, say Jameis Winston wins the job. You've got to worry about Taysom Hill and Rondell Moore and Alvin Kamara on the field and Michael Thomas on the field at the same time. And if Taysom Hill wins the job, you're still going to have to worry about Rondell Moore, Taysom Hill as a plus one in the running game, and worry about Alvin Kamara in the backfield. By the way, Alvin Kamara, one of those great, you know, kind of what I call the wing backs of the NFL, right? He's a wide receiver in a running back body, or a running back with a wide receiver mentality. You can put him out there and let him run routes. You'll have two guys like that on the same damn team. You'll basically be able to duplicate anything that you run with Alvin Kamara with Rondell Moore. That'd be just unfair. If I'm Tampa Bay, I got to get Rondell Moore.
Tampa Bay is all good, okay?
I know. If I'm Tampa Bay, though,
they're about to get 11-2 in about a month.
I get another little fancy weapon that you would have to defend one-on-one. If Shano didn't trade the whole damn draft to move up to number 3, Rondell Moore and that San Fran system would just be deadly.
I'm aware. Nice capper there. Let's get to one and done, because we had a pretty funny segment or a cool segment on EGAT. Everyone gets a trophy, and then Chad and Trey stole it! No, they took it and kind of changed it a little bit for the horn. We'll get into that. And also, speaking of Sean Payton, you're not going to believe who's playing Sean Payton in a movie.
I like that 5-star recruit at Kentucky. He's been here and he's going to stay here. It's one and done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
One and done time. Don't forget, Texas baseball coming up as they're going to take on Nevada. We were made sure to, you know, pronounce it that way. They told us whenever they played them in basketball, it's Nevada.
It is Nevada.
Nevada.
Nevada, Gonzaga.
Gonzaga, because of the Zags. So, they're going to be playing baseball.
Revenge week, baby.
6:30. Revenge week for basketball, BK.
Yes, Texas baseball will be picking up the tournament slack from the men's basketball team from the last few years. Need to go 5-0 this week.
A lot of slack to pick up.
Yes.
And hopefully they can do that this week. Ivan Melendez going for his 7th game where he has hit a home run. 7th game in a row that he's hit a home run.
Latino Bambino.
That's my favorite one. That is my favorite one.
No, there's no favorite one. That's it.
That's it.
We're not even going to debate any other nickname.
Done.
It's the Latino Bambino.
Done. Just like your Kevin Hart, it's a done deal. No. The people have spoken.
I'm not Kevin Hart.
All right, we'll get to that here in a second. But after the game, don't forget Longhorn Blitz podcast. And that'll be on tonight. So quick little, what do you guys get into? I'm sure just UT football.
Yeah, we get into Sark made some comments post spring practice comments and some scrimmage comments that he made after the post scrimmage comments that he made about personnel and how he plans to use the offense and his offensive ideas. So we get into a lot of that and some of the players he's high on. He's already made some very complimentary,
some surprising guys too.
Yeah, remarks about a lot of guys that have stepped up already. So we talk about a lot of that stuff.
We're gonna get into more of that with more Sark audio and some of the guys he's fired up about right here on the Triple Option coming up at 5 o'clock. Now, that was being a team player. I tied all that in to get baseball, to get his podcast.
Shout out.
Also to mention my own podcast, Everyone Gets a Trophy. Because on that, we talked about the story. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but we talked about him last segment. Sean Payton, Saints coach, is going to be portrayed by Kevin James in an upcoming football movie. And first off, this movie is based on Bountygate, the year that he was suspended, and I guess he coached his sixth grade kids team.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to really spin that? You know, Sean Payton deserves a little bit of criticism for having Greg Williams and letting that culture around, right?
But it's going to be a comedy, though.
I mean, I would think.
It's going to be a comedy. I believe it's a Larry, it's like a Adam Sandler production.
Okay, but Adam's gotten a little bit, he's got some serious stuff lately.
He's not going to do it with Kevin James.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be kids and the so pro coach. We've seen this before.
Yeah, exactly, right?
The movie director who helps his kids play out is like, can't believe what's going on.
Yeah, so
but
it'll
my
be
biggest
a comedy.
Thing was.
So that's why Kevin James can do it. If it was going to be more of a biopic,
okay,
a biopic,
do
that's
it,
a little bit different.
But he's two of Sean Payton. Like, this just, it's just, it doesn't make, it's too far off.
It
which
is too far off. If he's going to, I'm with you. I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have agreed to it, but I think it's just going to be silly. That's the whole point. It's
he's three of Sean Payton.
Yeah.
And Kevin James is a big dude.
He is.
Sean Payton is not a big dude. And it is interesting how they are going to find a lighthearted, family-friendly twist to Bountygate.
That's exactly it.
There's nothing lighthearted or family-friendly on offering incentive to injuring players on the other team, which is what was going on under Sean Payton's watch. So,
and apparently on the sixth grade team.
Kids, as long as you can't ignore that, it's perfectly fine. Right. This movie's going to be great. But yeah, the most egregious part is not that. It's that Kevin James is playing Sean Payton.
So
that is a slap in the face. I mean, a big slap in the face to Sean Payton.
It is. Now, Payton was asked about it, and he said, listen, I'm at the age where I really don't care. So
I assume he's getting a cut out of this thing, too.
And so you want whoever's going to sell it the most. So if John Candy's going to sell it, hey, go for it. Play me, even though I think I'm in much better shape than that. So it got us thinking, and Paul and I, like we usually do, like 12-year-old brothers, just went crazy and tried to think of the worst actor that could maybe be close, which is kind of what this is for us, where there's not a huge resemblance, and you think that the person may be a little upset. So Chad and Trey took that, and understandably so. I said, hey, we're part of the family. You guys can go ahead and take that idea and do it for the horn. And it took off. So Specs text line 337-3776. They were trying to cast every on-air talent, if you want to call us that.
We're talent.
Member.
Well, some of us are.
Yeah, of course. On the horn. And some of the texts we got, I was listening to a lot of their show, were hilarious. And there's some that it seems like, all right, that makes sense. Rob, we can start with you because I know that you want to lay down the law. You and Kevin Hart, I think, I don't know Kevin Hart, but from what I know of him, you're also different people.
No. I don't care about the Kevin Hart thing, but like, it's too easy. Like, it's,
okay.
You know what I mean? Like, it's
the, do you have one for you?
It's the Kevin Hart comparison with me has been out there for a long time. I've made the Kevin Hart comparison.
And that's more voice, right?
Yeah, it's more voice. But still, I'm just saying, you know, that's too easy.
Like, okay.
Be creative with it, at least.
All right.
The whole point of the exercise.
I'm trying to
be a little creative.
I heard The Rock for you.
Okay, now that's just being crazy.
That's ridiculous.
Exactly.
That's not creative.
Yeah.
That's just
yeah, exactly. That's
some people smoke and listen. Okay?
Now, The Rock me would make sense, but The Rock for Rod would not make sense.
Well, you were getting a lot of women. You were getting Ellen.
Yeah, I do get a lot of women. That's fair. That makes sense.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
There's nothing wrong with
getting a lot of women. No.
Well, no.
What about that way?
Suggesting women to play you in the movie.
What if Ellen DeGeneres played you? Because there were multiple people that wanted that.
I said it earlier. She's more of a man than I am.
Yeah.
So I'll take that. That's a compliment.
Yeah. I heard
she's had more women than you, too, probably.
Yeah.
I heard Pete Davidson for BK, which is probably a little bit closer.
So what is this? Is this looks? Is this personality? It,
it's
is this a
little
combination?
I think it's a little bit of both.
It's
both.
Like I look like Pete Davidson at all.
Mannerisms.
I will say this.
It's attitude, a little bit of
is that. And I'm not trying to get you to blow your head up here. Not that this would do it. But you're a much better looking Pete Davidson. I can see
Pete Davidson gets chicks.
Some of the structural stuff and some of the just kind of fun personality and expressive face, I can maybe see it. But you're a cleaner, nicer, better looking, blonder Pete Davidson.
Thanks, man.
But he does pull a lot of ass. You're right about that.
A lot of chicks. Yeah,
but that, you know why? You know why?
Because he's on SNL.
Well, that
he's loaded.
But he's also a great rehab project, and women like those. And he's dangerous, and young women like that.
I don't know, he's not that dangerous. He has a lot of tattoos.
No, I mean dangerous. He could die ODing any day.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, he's not going to mug you.
And what was that?
Right?
Danger, yeah.
And that's part of the rehab
danger
project.
Danger to himself.
I got to keep an eye on you.
Well, yeah, if that's what the women are looking for, then that's fine. I can be dangerous. I could take some chances like that.
You won't believe what I gambled on last night.
Oh, yeah. Not Jack McBrayer. As long as I'm not Jack McBrayer, we're okay.
I thought Kurt Russell for Aaron made sense. I can see that just with the face.
I could see it a little.
Really?
I don't think Kurt Russell and Aaron look that much. I think he looks more like Liev Schreiber. I've said that. I'd take Liev Schreiber over Kurt Russell.
I'll take Liev Kurt
Schreiber
Russell.
Looks more like him because, and I don't know Kurt Russell's background, but I think Liev Schreiber is also Irish, and that's the background for Aaron, too. I think Kurt.
Well, we got a woman playing BK, so it doesn't need to be that matched up.
Liev Schreiber looks way more like Aaron E. Hogan than Kurt Russell.
We're talking Kurt Russell in the 80s. Younger Kurt Russell. Absolutely.
No,
you don't remember young Kurt Russell.
I remember. What are you talking about?
You don't remember young Goldie Hawn.
Overboard? What are you talking about? Of course I remember young Kurt Russell.
Big Trouble in Little China?
Yeah, I remember young Kurt Russell. That's not E. Hogan.
It's totally E. Hogan.
That's E. Hogan-ish.
Okay. Well, so Schreiber is E. Hogan-ish.
No, Schreiber is right on the money, actually. Schreiber is like a little doppelganger.
You got one for E?
I'm looking here.
Have you looked at the Liev Schreiber-Kurt Russell comparison?
No.
Okay.
Rod's going to be stuck on that.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple of other I heard. In terms of Snoop, I like Mos Def. In terms of Isaiah, I like Hannibal Buress. I think those make sense. You got to give Hannibal credit for bringing the Cosby stuff back at...
trying to think
comedy
of one
seller.
Another one for Isaiah and Snoop. Yeah.
What about Craig? Paul Giamatti was thrown in there. There were some ones on Craig I thought, no.
Just didn't make
John
sense.
Lovitz.
Vince Vaughn?
That may be a little too nice to Craig.
Vince Vaughn is too nice to Craig? What are you trying to say?
I'm saying,
I feel like
how.
Have you seen Vince Vaughn lately?
how worn out was Vince Vaughn?
What are you trying to say about Craig?
Craig's not worn out. Well, he does a lot of stuff. He's not worn out, but that'd be a lofty comparison.
I don't think you've seen Vince Vaughn lately.
No, I really haven't.
Vince Vaughn's a comedy guy, though. Craig's more serious. I feel like we would need a guy who's played more serious roles to do.
Craig can be funny.
Craig. Okay. Craig is very can't be funny.
I think you are. You
he's
don't
not
think
Vince Vaughn funny.
Funny.
None of us are Vince Vaughn funny.
He's not Vince Vaughn a-hole either, thank God.
No, he's not. That's a good thing.
Is Vince Vaughn an a-hole?
Oh, apparently he's...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Him and Jeremy Piven would not be fun at lunch.
I didn't know that. That sucks. Okay.
What about you, KD?
They gave me a three-person name, William Levitt Gavitt or something like that.
William Levitt Gavitt?
No.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, which I had never heard of, and then I looked it up, and I can see that in the face. I mean, I don't think he's...
Let me see.
You know, he's
I remember
looking.
Him from different stuff. You just typed in Joseph.
I know.
It pulled up the biblical
And it pulled
prophet.
Up Joseph Osai, and I said, yeah, that he can play me.
Same, oh, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Same 40.
Who's,
yeah, I can see. I mean, look at that. I can see that being me.
Because he's good looking.
He's not that good looking. He's not bad looking. He's just average. He's just there. But with the eyes, I've got almond eyes. I always do.
I think he's considered more of the good looking crowd than unattractive.
Well, I do. I think I am too. So. There you go.
Who's the?
So I like the fit.
Who's the guy? Who
Parker Lewis is what I, as a kid I was always told I look like that. Okay. I like that hair.
I always got Zach and Cody. Sprouse twins.
Who the hell are they?
Oh,
that's more my generation.
Right? Is that Nickelodeon?
Disney Channel
Disney,
guys.
Yeah. Why do you know that,
like
right?
Around
no,
my
I
age.
I got it wrong. It was Disney.
That's creepy.
Because I used to have like the long blonde Chili Bull-esque style haircut. So like there was a time in my middle
Zach
school days
Cody.
Where I looked like those cats.
Man, Zach and Cody was a show. No wonder this
The Sweet
so
Life
soft.
Of Zach and Cody. Great okay. show, man.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah, with the mop.
Yeah.
Did you determine
yeah,
who's playing Bucky?
Who is the little guy in Game of Thrones? The midget? Little person.
Not so fast, man.
Oh, Peter Dinklage.
So
yeah, he should play Bucky.
Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, because Bucky's tiny. They're about the same height, dude. That's the guy. That makes the most sense to me.
No.
Yes.
Who's going to play Bucky? We need a bald black guy. Is Luke Gossett Jr. still alive?
Yeah, it's got to be someone who's got a little.
How about Montel Williams? But he it's not.
Montel
enough.
Williams would be good.
Is that the This Is How We Do It guy?
No, it's Montel Jordan.
Oh. Montel Williams hosted a talk show. Was bald.
Oops.
He's same complexion.
We need older, bald,
like Morgan
black
Freeman's too cool to be Bucky.
Yeah, he's too cool.
Morgan Freeman's the voice of God.
I know. Yeah. Bucky is not even in close to that. He's
I got the perfect guy to play Bucky. I got to find his name real quick. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
Okay.
All right. Who else have we missed?
Trey. We talked about Trey yet? Well, Trey was comparing himself to Ryan Gosling Matthew McConaughey.
I Trey was trying to set all that up. I'm like, I don't know
and
about that.
He was
that,
like,
buddy.
Oh, well, McConaughey was fat once for a role when I was fat once. It's like, no. Trey's more Kevin James.
At 13, he was.
Yeah,
he James would have to lose some weight, though.
Oh, I think I found my
lose a cup size.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about that cup.
Oh, man.
What kind of cup are you talking about?
Breasticist.
Okay.
What about Chad?
Oh.
Jason Statham? Is that like a...
People kept saying Bill Burr for Chad.
Bill Burr is a good one
but
for
Bill
Chad.
Burr's too funny.
I could see Bill Burr for me. Just looks-wise.
Okay.
And I'm not...
Actually,
I'm not propping myself
up on
that.
I can kind of see that, too.
So.
Now that you said something, I can kind of see that, too. Yeah. Oh, Courtney B. Vance can play Bucky. Type it in.
Courtney B. Vance.
I
did think a woman should play him.
Courtney B. Vance. Yeah. He's a well-known black actor.
Well,
you've
I feel
seen
like
stuff.
Since
he can play Bucky.
Everybody thinks Bucky's...
And that guy can play Bucky.
Oh, wow.
Told you.
Good call.
Well, does everyone think he's white? Because everyone thinks Bucky's white. And everyone also thinks Bucky's a woman. So
right.
I think we should just get a white woman to play Bucky.
I was about to say, it'll be easier whenever they go to the nail salon as we're shooting this movie, which we'll probably go to multiple times with Bucky, if a woman is playing that. She's just going to act it out better because she's done it.
So a woman doing Bucky's sexiest comment of the day?
Yeah.
That'll work?
Right. Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Man, we might have to keep this going.
I know.
During Off the Record, the texts are coming in. Send them in 337-3776. If somebody were to create a Horn movie, who would play us? Who would act as the Horn personalities in a movie? The bit, KD. Unreal. Keep them coming. 337-3776 is the Specs text line. When we return, we'll get to that. Also, Charles Barkley dropped a random nugget on a recent podcast. He was actually offered to work here. We'll tell you where it is next.
DD Mega Doo-Doo. I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get they bring the egg comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East. Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! F***ing thing sucks!
Welcome back to another edition of Off the Record, right here on the Triple Option with RBKD. This one is sports related. Usually Off the Record is way off the rails. This one, a little closer to the rails, has to do with Charles Barkley, who is a favorite of sports fans out there from his insight he provides as an NBA analyst on Inside the NBA. He revealed recently on the Jim Brockmeyer podcast, I think it's Brock. Is it Brockmeyer? Jim Brockmeyer.
What's the funny?
He didn't have the.
What's the HBO show? Isn't that something?
Brockmeyer.
Okay.
Yeah, this whole podcast is a bit.
Okay.
It's Hank Azaria is the actor.
Okay.
He's acting as Jim Brockmeyer in the podcast. So he created a podcast based off this fictional TV show character.
Rod, do you know the look and the expression and the tone we just got? He was trying to be nice about it, but have you ever tried to help your parents with a computer?
No,
I just can't get that. It's called the tab.
I don't watch the show.
Tab.
I don't watch. I know Craig Way loves the show. I don't ever watch the show. So
maybe
I really don't know anything
me,
about it.
I thought you were making a crappy joke about the Brockmeyers about
no,
Tommy
no,
and James.
I wasn't. I was
so
legitimately
it's like,
saying,
going
"Hey, is this
here?
Connected to sorry
to the extra?"
Right, y'all talk
yeah.
and I'll jump
no,
in.
No,
if,
that's
if
a
I can
no,
get into the
good,
pool.
That was a good, genuine question. People out there probably didn't know.
Do you guys know how to open a PDF file?
PDF.
Okay, so
I don't do that.
Charles Barkley was on this podcast, and he revealed casually a bombshell that Monday Night Football once wanted him to be an analyst on the broadcast. Here it is. Here's the sound.
I only comment on basketball. Like, this Monday Night Football, I like football, but I ain't going to be one of these jackasses that get on TV and act like he know about football. But my thing is...
So that was it. That was kind of it. He just kind of glossed over it. Like, oh, they offered me Monday Night Football, but I didn't want to do it because I don't like to talk football.
Well, and he doesn't know enough about it to be at that level.
That would have been entertaining as hell.
I think the whole point...
Considering who they had.
Yeah.
That was it. They don't really... at one point they had... And was it
Dennis Miller? Yeah, Dennis Miller. That was years ago.
Yeah, it was years ago. My point is, I don't think
they do Rush Limbaugh, or they say they were. They talk about it.
I think it may be something that was discussed. I don't know if they ever did Rush on there. But I think the whole point is they don't want him to come on there and be a football theory type of analyst. They want him to come on there and bring more of a novice point of view to it. More of a common sense point of view. That's what he does with everything, right? Breaks everything down for
the
common man.
That's why we love
him. Mm-hmm. So everybody loves him, right? Because he's not talking to you. He's not talking at you, right? He's not talking over your head. He speaks right. He speaks to most Americans on a plain level that they can understand. He's very relatable. And I think that's what they wanted, that relatability.
Yeah.
Limbaugh was there. That's right.
Was he what?
Yeah.
Wow.
And remember he had the comment about, was it Donovan McNabb?
Man, what year was that?
I don't know. It just kind of goes to show you how they've been struggling to find out or to find the right, you know, match.
Yeah. And 03,
they've had problems with it. So I love Charles Barkley, and I love him talking about almost anything. I wouldn't want him in that role. I'm not saying they've had the right person there, BK, but it's not a good fit.
He'd be okay in a three-man booth. Like if you had a play-by-play guy and a former player as an analyst, and Charles Barkley was kind of the voice of the fan, right? And he would just ask some questions that maybe the casual fan wouldn't know. You could maybe make that work with his sense of humor, but I'm glad he said no. I mean, I like him too much.
Yeah,
on
that's
TNT,
what I thought.
And I feel like there are better alternatives than Charles Barkley. Now, if you're asking me if I'm choosing between Booger McFarland, Jason Witten, and Charles Barkley, I'm picking Charles Barkley 10 out of 10 times. I don't care if Charles Barkley has never watched a football game in his life. I just know that guy's going to do a better job than those two cats.
I agree.
But there should be somebody better out there that ESPN can find over Charles Barkley. It's kind of sad that they had to reach out and ask Chuck to do this.
He can do so many different things, too. I'll tell you where I would like to see him. I'd like to see him on every show on CNN, Fox, and MSNBC. Because
talking news?
Talking politics, because he's one of the few people that I don't always agree with him, but I do believe that he's coming from a genuine place and that it's not anchored by a side just trying to pull you there.
Doesn't feel like there's a lot of fluff with Charles Barkley when he's on TV. I mean, he calls it like he sees it.
No, he's got FU money.
Yeah.
And he talks like
that. Yeah, and he bets it too with Shaq on the show.
True.
Which is pretty great.
Yeah, he was only on the job for a couple of weeks, the Monday Night Football game.
Limbaugh?
Yeah,
it was quick.
It was why we forgot it really happened. Weeks,
say something racist, like did he get fired right away, or did they just realize it wasn't?
I don't remember if it actually was racist, but it was
his
taken
comment
that way, right?
About McNabb was.
I forgot what it was.
I don't think he's been that good from the get go. I think what we've had here is a little social concern in the NFL. I think the media has been very desirous that a black quarterback do well. They're interested in black coaches and black quarterbacks doing well. I think there's a little hope invested in McNabb, and he got a lot of credit for the performance of his team that he really didn't deserve. The defense carried this team.
I agree with all of that until the very end. I think McNabb did deserve credit, and so I think he was talking about the wrong guy. But was the media at a point there, and I was probably part of that. It was like, hey, you know, let's give people chances, and it would be a good story. Yeah.
Was this the year they made the Super Bowl, we think, or right around then?
Yeah, I mean, no. In terms of McNabb, it's stupid, which is why it was taken as racist.
Interesting. All right. We'll go back to the Specs text line, 337-3776. Finish up the conversation we started during One and Done. Who would play us in a movie? If the Horn were to create a movie, or if somebody were to create a movie for the Horn personalities, who would act as the Horn personalities? E. Hogan texted me offline saying Kevin Nealon for Craig Way.
That's a good call.
That's a solid call.
Kevin Nealon is a good call.
And I'm sticking with Kurt Russell for you because of that call. I think that's the type of smart call that Kurt Russell would make, Aaron.
I think he'd rather be Lee Shriver than Kurt Russell.
I think either is good for him, though.
Yeah.
KD, you're getting a Will Ferrell and Wedding Crashers comparison.
Okay. I'll take that. Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's a great-looking guy, and I don't think I look like him, but I like Will Ferrell. I'm more into, do I like the actor playing me?
I was going to say, Will Ferrell and you, though. No, if you're not going for someone who looks like
some of the face stuff.
If you're not going for someone who looks like Katie, you got to be going for mannerisms and personality, and then Will Ferrell looks nothing like you, acts nothing like you, and the mannerisms are nothing alike.
Okay, but I like it. So I'm taking it, okay? Good text.
Red Fox for Bucky.
Red Fox is dead. You can't just bring up people that have passed away and are dead.
Tell me what it means.
Can we play the theme song too with Bucky?
We might have to.
He would move like Bucky.
I mean, you gonna say George Jefferson then? I mean, you can say anything.
I heard Sherman Hemsley. I heard that today on Shirts.
I thought we were going
with
live actors who could play in the movie.
Yeah, Steve Harvey for Bucky.
That may not be bad.
Blackface Robert Downey Jr. for Bucky. The Tropic Thunder role that he played. How about Crazy Joe DiBola as Trey? Got to vote for that.
Oh, wow. That's a good one.
Oh, that is a good one.
Is it DiBola? Is that his last name?
Yeah, from Seinfeld. Okay. Seinfeld. Blonde hair.
I remember that. Was he the one with the clown?
Good luck on the pilot, Jerry. Remember when he's leaning into the cab?
Didn't he become the clown too at one point?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, the crazy clown? Man, that's a good one.
He had pictures of Elaine.
Yeah, that's very random, but you're right about that. That's good.
That is a fantastic one. Trey's going to hate it, which I like even more.
Oh, yeah.
Rodby, you just got a Michael B. Jordan comp. You got to take that.
Yeah. I'll take that one.
You know what? Yeah. I can see that with your face.
Let's cut it off right now and end it. We're done.
And he's
black. I'll take the Michael B. Jordan one.
Jason Sudeikis for KD.
Who was it?
Jason
Sudeikis. I can see that.
Oh, that's a good one. Actually, yeah. I got to tell you, I'm on with that one.
Yeah. And that's I can see it.
I mean, that's a good looking dude, too, and he's funny.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby for Bucky. Probably shouldn't have read that one.
Come on.
Not my words.
No,
you should have.
Come on.
You should have.
All right. We're going to break. Keep them coming. Specs text line 337-3776. If we see any more good texts, we'll read them. Who would play us in a movie? When we return.
Go to break, Ellen.
Back into sports conversation. Yeah, apparently Ellen DeGeneres is BK. So.
Macaulay Culkin.
We'll take it. Okay.
I actually like the one you gave me earlier. The show that you watched as a kid.
Oh, Zach and Cody.
Zach and Cody.
Dylan and Cole Sprouse.
I could see it.
There you go. I'll take that. All right. When we return, we'll talk some Texas Longhorn football. Some notes from the scrimmage on Saturday, plus Steve Sarkisian perhaps giving us some insight on just how much Bijan Robinson is going to play in 2021. It's next.